Hi, and welcome to Steps to Value. I'm Rod Pihowski. In this episode, I had the opportunity to sit with Lori Baker and Donna Peters of TriHealth, another recent Davies Award-winning organization. Lori is Director of Ambulatory Care Management and Post-Acute Care. Donna is Director, Application Center in the Information Systems Department. And the theme of this episode, if I had to give it one, is IT is part of the care team. And I'm going to repeat that. At TriHealth, the Information Technology Department is considered part of the care team. This story is about the move to accountable care and how this insightful organization organized skilled nursing, post-acute and home care providers in the greater Cincinnati metropolitan area into a network that helped identify, contribute, and apply data. They did so in order to raise the quality bar with lower infection rates and readmissions. And along the way, TriHealth built a strong bond between its information technology and care teams. They asked questions like, what constitutes quality? And together, they did something about it. Hear more about how they did it and what advice they have for other organizations looking to replicate their achievements after this. If your organization is curious about applying for a Davies Award, and we hope you are, here's a little bit of background information on how the process works. First of all applicants must be validated as a Stage 7 on one of the HIMSS Analytics maturity models or have a stage validation scheduled during the submission cycle. The qualifying HIMSS Analytics maturity models include the EMR Adoption Model, or the MRAM, the Outpatient EMR Adoption Model, the Adoption Model for Analytics Maturity, the Infrastructure Adoption Model, and the Continuity of Care Maturity Model. What you'll have to do is submit three use cases describing the clinical problem, the technology interventions, workflow, and the use of analytics to facilitate rapid cycle quality improvement. You'll also have to show data demonstrating a minimum of 1 year of improved adherence to model clinical practice as a result of the utilization of the IT-enabled workflow. And finally, your use case should include data demonstrating a minimum of 1 year of improved patient outcomes as a result of the improved adherence to the model clinical practice. The call for submissions ends May 30th, 2019. And site visits will be completed by October 1st, 2019. For more information on the Davies program, contact Arnold Simmons at asimmons@hims.org for a pre-submission interview and a level-setting discussion. And again, Arnold's email address is asimmons, A-S-I-M-M-O-N-S, at hims, H-I-M-S-S, dot O-R-G. We hope to hear from you soon. Our guests today are Donna Peters and Lori Baker of TriHealth, a healthcare system serving the Cincinnati metro area. And TriHealth is a Davies winner for this year. And congratulations to the both of you and to your organizations.
Thank you.
So what we're going to do here is start with the problem that you faced and then approach how you did that. And the problem was how to reduce readmission rates. So how did you come upon the project and what did it end up being? And then we'll take it from there.
Okay, great. So my name's Lori and I'm the Director of Senior Services for TriHealth. And we have been working with our nursing facilities for over 20 years. So even before accountable care organizations, we had a strong relationship with our post-acute providers and always looking at readmission rates and how we can improve quality in post-acute. So we came up with our Advanced Quality Outcomes Program, which target is to look at what providers within our Cincinnati market are showing the best outcomes from a quality standard. And we then took that information and we had the nursing facilities documenting directly in our Epic medical record so that we could determine who had the best outcomes.
And this is with skilled nursing facilities, correct?
Correct. It's skilled nursing facilities, but then the following year, we started doing the same for home care to measure it with our home care companies as well.
How did this come to be where you decided, let's try and attack this by actually giving people access to our system?
So we decided to look at this as with us becoming an accountable care organization and really trying to focus on what is best for a patient across the continuum. We made the decision that we needed to look at quality in order to truly help educate the patients that are coming to our hospital and their families about what facilities are showing the best outcomes so they could make an informed decision.
And Lori, your program really started from a like kind of paper-based using Excel, right, and kind of evolved into. So when we looked originally at capturing that, it really was a very manual effort on the part of Lori's team and the nursing homes. And really it was about that partnership that you built, but lots of manual interventions in terms of the technology. It was capturing the data in different Excel forms and then you guys kind of compiling those to get that. And I think we got to the data. It was just very labor intensive. It was a lot of overhead for Lori's folks. And the data really wasn't standardized, right? And so how we were getting it in was really a challenge. To try to normalize that data to be able to show the outcomes. And so in working with Lori's team and understanding where they were trying to go in terms of capturing things more discreetly, really looked at, you know, how can we leverage our partnership with the SNFs, but use the technology that we had, and we're an Epic shop. And so how could we partner with them to get into our Epic system where we could capture that data more discreetly, reducing the overhead for Lori's data, but ultimately getting better quality data to be able to drive those outcomes for our patients and reduce their emissions.
Okay. So right now we're talking about generic data. What kind of data was required in order to make these determinations? How do you judge what their performance levels are? What were you looking to target? And we'll start with that.
So from a data standpoint, we have a physician leadership team that oversees all of our post-acute work and initiatives, including our chief medical officer, our physician hospital organization president, as well as several of the physician leaders in primary care and post-acute. And we reached out to them and we asked them and our specialists, what's quality to you in post-acute? So our orthopedics told us what they felt quality was, our cardiologist, and all of our physician teams. And then from there, that's how we developed the questions that we asked within our Epic to be able to determine the quality metrics. But then we also needed to focus on utilization, which is the length of stay, the readmission rates, some of those other data points, because ultimately, if you're looking at quality, readmission speaks a lot to quality. So we wanted to include those different metrics as well into making our decisions as truly who is performing the best so that we could push that information out to our families.
What kind of information were they encouraged to include and share, and to what degree, you know, did they have access to your system?
So I'll tackle a part of the question, then I'll have Donna from IT answer part of the question too. From the standpoint of what we asked them to send to us were things such as infection rates. And we asked them for every single patient we sent them, we would have them collect the metrics on those patients. So it wasn't where they would pick and choose who they were sending information to us. We pushed out to them the names of all the patients that were discharged to their facilities from our hospital through Epic. And then from there, they would look at the length of stay. They would look at, for instance, if it was an orthopedic patient, what was the mobility when the patient first arrived compared to the mobility when they left. We also challenged our skilled nursing facilities to use our network. So if a patient was discharged from their nursing facility and needed home care, we wanted for them to use one of our preferred provider home cares that was vetted as having top quality. We wanted for them to use our outpatient therapy departments the same, because we knew that they were having the best outcomes from what we were seeing in the data.
And then from an access perspective, I think that was one of our challenges in the beginning was access, because these providers, these skilled nursing homes, we don't own them. They're not an affiliated entity with TriHealth. So looking at it from a HIPAA perspective to make sure that the patients and the access that they received into our system match the facility with the relationship to the patient, what I think was our first kind of big barrier there that we had to tackle. So we made a workflow in Epic that when the patient was discharged to that SNF, we identified that as part of the care team in Epic, thereby creating that link, that relationship with patient to facility, so that then the nursing homes could use a VPN token to log into our instance of Epic. And we presented then a patient list of here's all the people that have come back to your facility that we've identified. And so they had this kind of VPN access in using our filtered through the care team. And they were going in to do documentation. And it was extremely successful. I mean, we had a lot of buy-in from that. The overhead, though, extremely challenging. Lots of turnover in the nursing homes, which means turning the key fobs over. Training was logistically a little bit of a challenge, going out to all these different, 125-plus nursing facilities, going out to these facilities, doing training on VPN. Logistically a challenge. I think the compliance was so great, I think, speaks to Lori's team and the relationship and partnerships that they have with this preferred provider network and the resources and education and all the benefits that Lori's team has done with the outreach. Because it was a pretty big ask to have them to go in to do a lot of extra effort. We've since evolved that solution to try to make it easier. But in the beginning, it really was about limiting the patients from a HIPAA perspective and then getting them into our system. At the time, we had VPN. That was the only solution.
So how did you make the case to them that this was worth all that extra effort?
I think from the nursing facility perspective, it was worth it for them because TriHealth is a large partner to all of our post-acute facilities, and it truly is something where they want to partner with us. They want to be able to show the great work they're doing in post-acute, and to be able to be affiliated to say they're a preferred provider means a lot to them and means a lot to the community to be able to have that quote-unquote stamp of approval that TriHealth has vetted you. You have gone through a very lengthy process in order to get on their preferred provider list. So our post-acute providers, and I think one of the pieces that's key for our market that may be different in other markets is, as Donna was saying, we have over 125 nursing facilities. If you're at one of our hospitals, if you literally drove within 5 miles, you would pass about 7 nursing facilities. So we have a lot of bed capacity. So we have some competitiveness we can build in the market because of that, that we were able to leverage to be able to continue to run our preferred provider network and for the nursing facilities to want to submit the data.
Donna, did you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that, one of the great things with working with Lori's team is we're constantly looking for how we can evolve this and how we can continue to build on the successes. From a technology perspective, I think we knew that the overhead that we had with the key fobs and the access challenges really needed to be addressed as soon as we could. We did, as a later improvement, look to do more of a web-based product now. So we have folks going in through the web. We use the same access mechanism in terms of identifying the patient to the SNF relationship, but we're able now to get rid of the key fobs. We have them go into our instance of Epic via the web now and do that documentation directly into our instance, which is a much cleaner entry point. It's a lot less overhead from a support perspective. And I think we've had great results with that. We just met this past week, I think, about additional improvements. And we're always looking at how we can try to make it better and build on the success. I think that would be lessons learned for us. How do we continue to grow this and make it better? And Lori and her team have been great partners in that and really being open to our feedback and how we can make things better.
Can you address a little bit more that partnership sense
Sure.
between
yeah, yeah.
Your two worlds?
Yeah, absolutely. I think and we've talked about this both in our presentation when you all came out. We really feel like TriHealth has a distinction in that from an information systems perspective, the organization really does see IT as part of the care team, and I think that is different than other organizations. When we go to kick something off, we are always at the table as an equal partner with our clinical folks. We feel like our opinions are valued and even sought after. Oftentimes, you know, they come to us with business problems and say, what can we do? And they really kind of allow us to just kind of throw ideas out. And we really do, I think, work well together with the departments because they bring us in up front as opposed to, you know, gifting us things on the back end. But I think that really makes TriHealth a unique place in that they truly value us in terms of what we can bring to the care team. And we really do appreciate that. And I think we have great outcomes because of it. I really do.
All right. Perfect segue. Unless you first, Lori, had a comment about that relationship. And then we'll get to the outcomes.
Yes, and I would second what Donna would say has just said. We definitely have a relationship where when we come forward with a thought or an idea, we bring IT in from the very beginning, and they help to bring to life what we need in order for us to be able to show outcomes and to truly make change and measurable information that we're able to push out. And ultimately, with us creating the Preferred Provider Network, it is so much bigger for our organization than just having the nursing facilities document. We also have a whole education platform where our nurses provide every 6 to 8 weeks. They provide a training with one of our service lines so that, for instance, with orthopedics, anything that we're pushing out from an orthopedic standpoint for patients, we're having educations for our nursing facilities with the orthopedic surgeons and the nurse navigators, et cetera, to teach them what we're expecting from them. So we have an educational component to what we do. But then ultimately what we've done is we've created a 4-page educational tool for our patients and their families that when they come to the hospital and they're in a vulnerable state of needing in a post-acute facility, the care manager at the hospital gives them the list of the facilities that have been vetted in their area based on their insurance that are ones they can select from that have already been vetted with outcomes on the back that we were able to gather through the work of our IT team. So that's ultimately the goal, is helping to educate the patient and share with them the why we would want for them to go to these preferred providers, because we have proven lower lengths of stay, proven lower infection rates, and proven lower readmissions.
Are there any numbers attached to that?
Yes, we actually do have numbers attached to all the information. On the back page of our educational tool, we put the percentage and we base it on different diagnosis categories, because an orthopedic patient will typically be in the hospital, a nursing facility less time than a cardiac or pulmonary. So we really try to judge our nursing facilities on the populations they're caring for. And the expectations are set very early of what we expect for those different disease states.
But readmission rates are down.
Yes.
Right?
One of the great things about Lori's program is, as you were saying, it's by different disease states. And we've seen between 7 and 12% based on the different categories. But because we have all this data and we can present it to the patient's now making decisions based on data, based on facts of how that preferred provider has performed, as opposed to a perception, which I think is where we were before. And I think when we looked at our overall reduction in cost per case, it was over $2 million that we've reduced our cost per case for our attributed patients. I believe it's our attributed patients. So, I mean, really significant outcomes. I mean, these are for the size of the population, I think it's unbelievable.
And the other piece to this whole endeavor was not just educating the patients and the families. It was educating internally to our hospitalists and our care managers to let them understand the why of why we wanted for them to use the preferred providers. I was a care manager in the hospital once too. And typically when you're doing care management, you have a lot of pressure to get patients out of the hospital. And so typically you go where it's easiest to get patients. And you recommend based on the ease of transitioning. And when we were able to put forward to them the why these preferred providers were selected and the information and help arm them with an educational tool, it really helped them to be able to push forward to the patients the information. So what was really incredible to see is as our care managers and our hospitalists and our medical team began to use our network more and more, we saw our readmission rate at our hospital go lower and lower. And it's always great when numbers truly show what you're hoping they do. But it was really eye-opening to then be able to push that forward to our care management team and our physicians into our executive leadership.
What about the patient satisfaction side of it? Can you go a little bit more into that? You said that you created some educational pieces, but have you measured that at all? Do you have anecdotal evidence? What leads you to believe that the patients like this too?
So from a patient perspective, we because CMS does not have patient satisfaction in place from a post-acute nursing facility standpoint, they do for home care. We did not feel comfortable trying to ask each facility to give us their tool for patient satisfaction. But what we have found from the care managers and the anecdotal conversations we've had with our patients, that this tool has been extremely helpful for them in looking past the granite countertops when they go to the nursing facilities. In our market, our nursing facilities look nicer than some cruise ships. So there is a lot of competition, and we need to help them get past the look at the facility to truly look at the value of the care.
Donna, anything to add on that?
No, I don't. I think, you know, one of the things we talk about all the time when we did our presentation is that we just love the patient component of that. And I think that was one of the unique things about her program is really tying that back together. We talked a lot about perceived versus actual quality, but putting that together in a really patient-friendly manner. It's you know, patient speak, right? Here's what it means when you go to a post-acute facility. And oh, by the way, if you pick one of ours, you're going to be in there less, right? The 10% reduction, what does that really mean to the patient? Well, that might mean 4 days. That could be 2 days, right? But how do they translate that? And I think that's what was so powerful is we use the granular data, but from the patient perspective, it really was about what does it mean to you as a patient? And I think that's what resonated. And it's real, you know, patient friendly, and here's what you're gonna, but that's part of the education I think Lori's talking to is how do we take it and translate it in a way that means something to the patient so they can make a really good choice or their family can make a good choice for the best partner with us. And I think that's what's been so successful.
What about from the SNF perspective? How do they like participating in this? Do you have any stories about their sense of value in participating in this?
So from the skilled nursing facility standpoint and also our home care standpoint, they'll all tell you that we are asking for them to do quite a bit of work in gathering this data. But they also understand the reason why we're doing it. When you look at the why and the value to the patient, they're very willing to step up to the plate. And like I said, it showcases the great work they're doing. So I think a lot of times nursing facilities get bad raps as to what they do and how they can do it. So when we're able to show positive insight into what is actually happening, it helps to improve their value to the organization. And I think one of the things we learned through the course of this too, from a hospital standpoint, we also have a lot to learn from our post-acute providers of what they need. And through the course of the educational trainings that we did, we learned from our nursing facilities that, and from our own teammates within the hospital, they weren't even aware nursing facilities do IVs. Now, anybody that's been in a nursing facility knows how insulting that is because they've done them for a long time. And so we then did a reverse education with our own hospital system to our ED physicians about what capabilities are available in the nursing facility so that the patients can return to the facility versus being readmitted. So we saw it as an opportunity to also look at ourselves of how we can improve it as an organization.
I have one more question for you. Anybody listening to this podcast thinking, well, I'd like to do that, what would you recommend they make sure they do in order to avoid any pitfalls and make faster progress toward success?
Well, I think one of the first steps that would be important to take if an ACO or an organization was looking to do this work is to first understand their market. Understand if they're in a market of there's bed availability or their bed capacity, because that truly will drive how you would run the program. And really start having conversations, invite all your nursing facilities to come have an open forum discussion for you to see where you can make improvements, where they could make improvements, and be at the same table talking versus telling them what to do. Listen to what they can do as well and do it as a partnership.
I think from a technology perspective, I would say one of the things that, one, from a HIPAA perspective, certainly, you know, be considering that if that's relevant, like it was for us. But don't over-engineer it. I think one of the things that was great in the way that it was designed was we started with one disease state, but because we kind of made it in this in a way that we could reproduce it easily, it was something we could take to scale quickly. So it was, you know, we're not making 500 customized forms. It's, this is the tool. This is how we roll it out, right? We're making sure that it's something that we can, that's repeatable. It's easy from an overhead perspective with our testing and infrastructure. Use the tools you have. Use what's in the toolbox before you go out and buy something else. And I think that's worked really well, right? So we have people who are great at Epic or great with these tools, but make it scalable, because I think once we found it was successful, it was so easy to roll out to home care, right? Because we already had the infrastructure in place. So don't over-engineer. Really just look at the business solution, come up with what you think can work, but really be thinking about that scale, like you mentioned, because once it took off, I mean, it really took off. And I think we were able to leverage the way that we had built it to begin with, so that we were able to roll it out more quickly.
Our guests have been Donna Peters and Lori Baker from TriHealth, Davies winners this year. I want to thank you both for just taking the time here. We're actually at HIMSS 19 right now in Orlando as we speak. Your energy, your enthusiasm, it's just amazing, and it goes such a long way, and the patients are benefiting from this. So thank you so much for everything you're doing, and thank you for sharing your story with
thank
us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You may have noticed an emerging shift in health information technology themes over the past year. We're not talking so much anymore about how to implement technology or how to choose your technologies. While those are still important elements of effective and innovative leadership, the focus is shifting to stories like the one you just heard. How do you apply technology to an idea or a vision you have about what you'd like to achieve? And even though information technology is at the core of the solution, the bulk of the work comes from building coalitions, working collaboratively, sharing a vision, seeking better outcomes, and using technology to bring visions to reality for the benefit of the populations under our care. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Once again, I'd like to thank our guests from TriHealth, Donna Peters and Lori Baker. And congratulations again to TriHealth for its Davies win. To learn more about what TriHealth accomplished, visit our website where you can watch a presentation of each of the three cases from TriHealth, and you can do that for any of the Davies winners. The one we featured today is on advanced quality outcomes, and the webpage is hims.org/library/TriHealth Davies Enterprise Award with hyphens between all of those. So once again, that's hims.org/library/TriHealth-Davies-Enterprise-Award. Kelly Lippitt is our story editor and guest relations manager. Thank you, Kelly, for your work on Steps to Value. And Steps to Value is a copyrighted production of HIMSS. HIMSS is a global voice, advisor, and thought leader of health transformation through health information and technology, with a unique breadth and depth of expertise and capabilities to improve the quality, safety, and efficiency of health, healthcare, and care outcomes. I'm Rod Pihowski. See you next time on Steps to Value.